Last Sunday, we were talking a little bit about being fully persuaded, weren't we? Amen. And that we present ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we talked a little bit about faith and how faith is important in our walk with God. It is with our faith that we please God, right? It is with our faith that we walk with Him. He said, the just shall live by faith. Faith is important. How many know that we receive from God by faith? It was faith that saved us. We are saved by grace, what? Through faith. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? Not by what we see. And sometimes it is very difficult to walk by faith and not walk by what we see. Because faith is being fully persuaded in what God has promised. Full persuasion. What does that mean? That means there's no doubt. We believe that what God has said He's going to do for us. The Bible's full of promises, but it takes us acting on that promise. And how do we act on the promise of God? We, number one, we receive it as true. We decide, I'm not going to live my life like the rest of the world in worry and fear. Does worry and fear come to you sometimes? Anybody ever have that come? I woke up the other day and you know, it was all over me, fears trying to talk to me, and I had a wonderful opportunity to let fear go by and to set myself on God's word and what He said. No, I know what God has said. I hear the voice of my Father, and I walk with Him. He is directing my steps. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Yes, but it doesn't look like in this circumstance that you may be in today, like it's anything that you wanted. But God has a way. God has a purpose. And when we hold fast to what He has said, I'm telling you, there's things that can stop us, and the enemy comes to try to derail us from one thing. That's pursuing God and receiving revival for this city. And for our life. And ultimately, you know, we don't want it to stop in our city, but that's a great place to start. Amen. Number one, in our life, and secondly, in the city. So the first thing that I was saying, faith is important. It's important that we what? Believe God. What is faith? We said it's a firm, it's being firmly persuaded. Well, where was that? Well, when we saw that in Romans chapter 4, right? Romans 4. Here, Abraham is talked about and how he had faith. Verse 17. It says, for, what did I say? Romans 4, sorry. I'm on the wrong chapter. Romans 4. I was right. 4:17. Thank you, Lord. As it is written, I have made you, or made thee, the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, Abraham believed in hope. That means, what does that mean? That means that what Abraham saw looked impossible. It doesn't look like it can happen. Can you have a church in St. Thomas that's seeking after God and God brings some folks and you bring some folks and we seek after God through prayer and fasting and worship and have a people that are transformed more and more to the image of Christ, and we begin to pray and birth revival for a religious city. Is it possible? Amen. The Bible says what? All things are possible to him that believes. See, there's something we have to do also with God. If we never believe, or if we don't act on our believing, or what we are persuaded of, what God has said, did God say to us, if you'll ask me, he said, I will give you the city. If you'll ask me, I'll give you the city. Did you know that God can give us the city? And God is giving us the city. You say, well, I don't see that. It sure doesn't look like it. I don't have a lot of hope in that, Pastor. Why? Because it seems like it is being delayed, and so did it for Abraham and Sarah. When they first heard the promise of God that you're going to have a child, they laughed. Abraham laughed, and then Sarah also laughed. And Abraham said, Sarah, you've laughed. She said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. And it was not the laugh of faith. There is a laugh of faith when we really believe God. Amen. He's going to turn the captivity, and we're going to be happy. They're going to see what God is doing in our city and in our church. But what is that going to take? It takes a consecrated people, amen? We have to decide, I'm going to follow what God has said. Anyway, we're still in Romans 4 here. I haven't forgotten. I stopped in the middle of the verse. But who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and here it is, and being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, who? God had promised. He was able also to perform. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He continued to grow and continued to gain strength as he gave what? Glory to God. As he considered the promise more than he considered the natural. It looked impossible. Sarah no longer ovulates. She can no longer produce a child. Her womb has died. Abraham's not as much of a hot rod as he used to be. It's not working out so good. It doesn't look possible. It doesn't look like it could happen. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. But against all natural hope in what? In hope. That's an expectation that what God has promised will come to pass in my life, in your life. He can change the natural circumstance. It can happen in a moment. You say, well, why hasn't it happened? Well, let me tell you something. Faith does not wear a watch. Faith is right now, the Bible says. Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is. It's not going to be, but it is right now. In other words, your beliefs, your full persuasion, what you're persuaded about, what you're convinced of from the Word of God is right now. What God has promised. In God's eyes, we just read it there in verse 17, He calls those things that are not right now as though they were. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, the father of many nations. He went from Abram, oh, everybody's calling me Abram. He said, no, my name's Abraham. And eventually everybody's calling him Abraham, the father of many nations. And how many children did he have? Zero. We've got more here than Abraham had in his whole life. He had no children. But how many thank God that through he and Sarah, they didn't quit at the first thinking or what their mind's conclusion was at the beginning. We talked about that last week. Sometimes our mind's conclusion says what? It's not possible. That's the natural mind. But we don't have to stop there. We don't have to stay there. And Abraham and Sarah did not stay there. Sarah herself. Let's go over there to Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. It says there in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Hallelujah. What is our evidence? What evidence do we have that God's going to take care of you? We have evidence found in the Word of God. Well, His Word said, we read it this morning. I will provide what? All your need. I am Jehovah Jireh. I'll take care of you. Is all your need money? No. Some of our need is other things. Amen. How many know that's true, right? It's not just money. Money's a form of prosperity, but that's not all prosperity is. Prosperity is having what? Contentment. Like Paul said, I've learned how to be content with what I have. It's a process, isn't it? It's a walking with God. It's a communication between a supernatural God and us. When we begin to take Him at His word and what He has said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And here we see that in Hebrews 11 says, for by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things that do appear. When God started to create the earth, what was here? The Bible says nothing. It was formless and void, and actually, when you look it up, it was a little chaotic. And out of chaos, God created the world. It didn't look too good. There was darkness. There was nothing. The Holy Spirit was brooding. Well, why didn't He just start creating? Because He was waiting for something. He was waiting for the spoken word of God. Until God said, there was not one thing created. But then the God that we just read about there in Romans 4:17, God who calls those things that be not as though they were. And if you and I will be like Him and begin to call the truth of what God has said, His promises, they will become in your life. It may not happen overnight like it didn't for Sarah and Abraham. But here we see the hall of fame of faith. So the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, they're not made of the things which do appear. By faith, in other words, there is a substance called faith that upholds the whole world. And it came from God. He believed that when I speak, it's going to happen. And God has set certain laws into motion. And on the earth is voice activated. Things on the earth can listen to you. Remember, what did Jesus say to the waves? Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus talked to the fig tree, didn't He? What did He do? He cursed it at the root. Why did it have to listen? Because Jesus knew things on this earth are produced with words. Have you ever heard words that hurt your heart? Have you ever heard words that brought faith, brought grace to you, brought healing to your heart? See, there's both sides, isn't there? Words are very powerful. Words can create. Words can change circumstance. And when we stand on it, you say, well, what have you been doing over here at the First Sunday? We've been speaking the Word of God, praying the Word of God. We're not done yet. You say, well, nothing seems to be happening. Well, it is. I got news for you. It says the world was framed and the world is held together by things that we can't see. Sometimes it's not always easy, is it? Because against all things that we see, against all hope, we are hoping in what God has said. And I'm not going to let my mind get wandered down the street. Don't say, you say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Have you ever let that happen? Of course I've let that happen. I've had to take my thoughts captive just like you. I had to stop my thoughts. Well, how do you do that? Well, one way is giving glory to God. Like Abraham did. He began to become fully persuaded, giving what? Glory to God. When we begin to praise Him, when we begin to set our mind on who He is, we sang about this morning, great is Thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. There's no what? Shadow. I'm not going to change. God said, I'm not going to change. I don't change. I don't change my word for anybody. And you can't change it to fit your lifestyle or what you want it to say. It's not going to change for you. God wants us to change. We change. What? To be conformed to what He has said. That's the faith of God. That's faith. When we conform to what He has said and we allow Him to transform us it more and more into what? The image of Christ. That's the becoming of a disciple. That is the faith of God that works on the inside of us. When we walk with Him and we serve Him and we follow Him, regardless of what we see in this natural, because we know what He has said. We know what His Word has said. Maybe you're there today and you say, well, why is it taking so long for me to receive a healing? Well, the Bible says that faith doesn't wear a watch, really. Faith is now. I believed, I've received, and I know that my Father is faithful. Once we get a hold of what He has said, what He has promised, and we get it in our heart, time isn't something that should matter so much to us. It is God is working, and I believe that I have received, and I know that my Father is working. Hallelujah. I'm not him, and I'm not telling you I have every answer. But sometimes in our life, there are things that need to change and understandings that need to come so we can receive certain things we've asked of Him. In other words, sometimes our desire, our question is like a building. You know, we're asking about, you know, the roof. We're asking a question that deals with the roof, but all we have is a foundation. We don't have any walls. We don't have anything else. And first, we have to understand the walls have to go up, right? There has to be walls to hold the roof. We can't just start building the roof. And sometimes our questions deal with a roof in our life or a ceiling in our life. And we have to first understand certain other things, like God is faithful. You see, it's good to know, and we can have faith. Said this last week, you know, a person can have faith that Jesus died, rose again. Amen. Hallelujah. They can believe that, but never really be saved. They never, what? Commit their heart to God. The Bible says we must believe what? In our heart. Confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. It happened in the Bible. They would not confess Him. Hallelujah. John 12:42, it says they believed, but they would not confess Jesus. They were afraid they're going to get thrown out of the synagogue. They did believe. They said, well, we believe, but they never put any action or any words to what they were saying. And our words should be a result of what we believe. Our words release our faith, our beliefs. And many times we're looking for something spectacular to do. somehow spectacular things seem to feed our flesh. We want to do something spectacular. I don't know about you, but I'm going to admit, when I was first learning about faith, I wore these glasses. And sure enough, I just thought, if I break these glasses, God has to heal me. It's these glasses that's the problem with my faith. And really, the glasses had nothing to do with my faith. My heart had to do with my faith. What I believed and what I was putting in my heart had to do with my faith. Because the Bible says what? Faith comes, and most of you and all of you know this, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. It doesn't come some other way. It doesn't come by osmosis. But it does come by hearing the Word of God. What God has said, faith comes. And as faith comes, as we meditate on it, as we say it with our mouth. You ever say anything with your mouth? What about when you have a difficult time? You're not sure you can do something? What should we say? We read it today. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. There's a good one, right? What about 1 John 4:4? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world, the circumstance that I'm facing. The greater one lives in me. I got news for the devil. He cannot stop us if we don't give him that ability or that strength. Hallelujah. Before Jesus came into the world, man was in prison and we couldn't use words to change things. And sometimes, how many have ever noticed, sometimes we bring baggage into the new kingdom. And we've got to let it go. Amen. We bring us systems of thought or certain things that we've thought all of our life. And, we face circumstance and we want it to change right like that, don't we? I like that, you know. Or maybe we're listening for God's voice and think, well, I think I heard God, you know. Could you write it in the sky, Lord, in blood? That would be great. You know, something spectacular. Or we tend to want to do something different when something doesn't change immediately. And what God wants us to do, he wants us to believe his word, agree with God, in other words. What does that mean? You say, well, when we make a confession of faith, or someone confesses Jesus as Lord, they're agreeing that what God has said is true. That's what we do. That's what confession is. It's agreeing that what God has said is true. And when we agree with him and we set ourselves in line with his word and we speak what he says and we resist the temptation to sit and doubt and to feel sorry for ourselves, Jesus does not come to your pity party. He does not come to change that circumstance, but he does come to change it when we believe him. When we hold fast to what he has said and we agree with what he said and we begin to use our words in line with what he said. Our words should follow our beliefs. We need to hear and we need to say. Amen. Psalm 103:20. Psalm 103:20. It says that the angels of the Lord. There's a lot of other things Psalm 103 says, but 103:20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Well, how does God's word get voice? I mean, I put my Bible up here. I don't hear anything. Do you hear a voice coming from my Bible here? No. But it does get voice when you and I say his word, when we agree with what God said. Okay? You need favor in a situation? Psalm 5:12, right? He says, I will encompass you about with favors with a shield. So you just begin to say, think about it in your mind, and as it comes up, you know, get that scripture in your heart, and from the heart, you just begin to say it over and over to yourself and out loud with words. God gives me favor everywhere I go. He surrounds me with favor like a shield. I got favor. Favor just means that somebody will go out of their way to do something special for you. Hallelujah. It doesn't look like the circumstance is going to change, but let me tell you something. God can give you favor. I remember a guy, he had been in prison, and he got a hold of getting favor somewhat. But he had been in prison, okay? And he'd been in prison three different times. He escaped from prison three times. He said one time he saw this horse outside the gate, and he got somebody to help him. He got over the fence and got on this horse and rode it down to the liquor store and got some liquor and rode the horse back to the prison. Jumps over the fence there and got back in, and he brought liquor into the prison. I don't know how he didn't get caught. He said, I don't know how I didn't. Of course, I got caught with the liquor later, but everybody was happy with him. All the prisoners were. And he was just away from God. He said another time he escaped, and they caught him after that. And this is his third escape from prison. And he said he's driving along, and God spoke to him. And he sensed it's like his last hope to come back to God. He said, I've got to go to God. His parents raised him well. He had known some things of God, but he never really confessed the Lord. And so he was crying, and he confessed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, I want you to go and turn yourself in. Turn myself in? Lord, I can't. And so with fear and trembling, he went to the police station, and they didn't believe him when he told them who he was. He said, they didn't believe me right away, but they looked me up, and sure enough, all of a sudden, here they come, and he said, they've got me in handcuffs and chains and everything else so I don't run away again. And got into my cell, and of course, how many have ever heard that voice that says, now you've done it? See, he obeyed God, right? But what does the devil do to try to stop you? Tell you the lie. You've missed it. You've missed it. Look at your circumstance now. You're in this jail cell. You're never getting out. And so he was there and finally went up to appear before the judge. And against his lawyer's advice, he told the lawyer, I want to plead guilty. And so he pleads guilty before the judge. And even the judge says, well, are you sure you want to plead guilty? He said, yes, I am. And for whatever reason, the judge said, why are you pleading guilty? He said, judge, I know you've heard it 100 times. Judges hear it all the time. People get, jailhouse salvation, you know, all of a sudden they're goody two-shoe. But he said, I was driving down the road, and I was convicted of God. I gave my heart to Jesus, and the Lord told me to turn myself in, and so that's why I'm here before you today. All right, he's in. The judge says, well, counsel, would you please come up here? I want to talk to you in my chambers a minute. So he's there by himself, not knowing what's happening. And the judge came back out, and he says, young man, I don't know why, but I just feel like if you had one more chance, you're going to turn your life around. And so they didn't give him any extra penalty. Of course, he had to go back to the prison for his first sentence. And, but God gave him what? Favor with the judge. There was no added sentence, nothing. He was just put back into the prison. And then it didn't look like he's going to get out. They said, he said, I got my parole papers. And it said, you'll be paroled in the month of none. The month of none. He says, I finally figured that's not now. You know, that means I'm not getting it at the moment. But he began to speak the word of God. He said, I got a hold of the word of God. that I have authority and I can pray and I can use the Word of God to change my circumstance. And he began to see himself being released. And he began to say, I'm going to be released from this prison, Father, because your Word says I can be free and that you'll give me favor. Matter of fact, one of the guards had told him, they said, if you ever get released from this prison, I will personally walk you to the gate. And he said the day came, as he continued to believe God, I would walk that prison guard hour after hour. They said, what are you doing? I'm praying and I'm saying what God has said. He set the prisoner free. I've given my life to Jesus. I'm coming out of this prison. And the day came when he did get released. And he did get out of the prison. And he began to preach the gospel. And the truth of God's word continued to grow. And eventually, he was given a pardon. And he was fully released. And his whole record was clear. So I just want to say, you see, God is restricted by our failure to confess what we believe or to agree with God for what we believe or what he has said. But when we choose to agree with God's word, faith has come. But faith has to be released with our words. What a faucet is to your water pipes, your mouth is to your faith. Just like when you turn that faucet on, water comes out. Your mouth, what we speak, when we believe and agree with God's word, our faith is released. Father, I believe you give me favor everywhere I go. I believe, Father, that you provide every need according to your riches in glory. Yes, but it doesn't look like it, so against all hope, I choose to believe what you have said, Lord, and I know that you're working on it by a substance that cannot be seen called faith. Because it's what holds the world together. God's word. And when God's word is spoken out of our mouth, and we don't give up, and we don't stop, I'm not saying never to examine our life. We should. There might be something we need to change, but it is up to God and up to us as we seek him. He will point out some change that maybe we need to be able to receive that. Amen. Maybe it's we got to get rid of our greed in our life. So greed, well, what do you mean? I don't have any greed. That's my point. We didn't see it. We didn't recognize it. But when we spend time with God and he reveals some things. Remember I said we may carry some baggage sometimes. You know, we may need to release that. We may need to confess that and get it out of our life and let him continue to help us. Or maybe it's that maybe we've got enough money that how many know sometimes we're not always as good a steward as we need to be. I remember when God told me, well, Lord, I just don't seem to have the money. He said, where's your budget? So what do you mean, where's your budget? He said, I want you to write your budget down. And then one day he told me, he said, if I gave you $100,000, what would you do with it? I would like you to write that down for me. And we'll talk about it. And I thought that's very interesting. I didn't have 100,000. But he sent that to me. Why? Because God wants to see that we are serious with him. That what we're going to do is follow him. And he knows our heart already. But he wants us to see our heart. He didn't ask me those questions because he didn't know that what I would do with it. He wants me to realize, okay, is this what I would do? Is this God's purpose? Is this what God has in mind? God has a purpose for all that we have. And if we're really going to be his steward, then everything we own belongs to him, right? And if he asks me, I have to be willing. Yes, Lord, but Lord, that's all the money I have. He said, that's all I'm asking for. Sometimes he does that. Or he asks us to do something with money that we've set aside for something else. And he wants our obedience. And so just becoming silent doesn't mean that God's going to bless us. He said, He has blessed me. Amen. But sometimes we have to get our words working in line with us. I am blessed. If that may be all you say. How you doing? I'm blessed. You know, when people look at you and you're driving your car and it's all rusted out and it's, you know, it's not a 2023 or 24. It's a, 2003. And they're like, hey, you're driving, you know, or maybe it's a 2005. You're trying to move up, but hey, you're blessed. I'm blessed. Why? Because God has promised to bless me. He's going to care for me. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what He has said. Ephesians 1:3, we're already blessed. And then Peter said that we're blessed, what? With all things that pertain to life and godliness. God will take care of us. It doesn't come by thinking, but it comes by saying. You have what you say and not what you think. Let's end over here, and I want to go to Mark chapter 11. Maybe we could say today would be speaking the end result. Amen. When we say what God says. Amen. Hallelujah. For verily, now some of you already know all these, but these are common verses. But how many know that if we don't use our faith can become dull? You know, it says in Hebrews, they were dull of hearing. Why? They were not practicing the presence of God in listening. So, well, what do you mean by practicing the presence of God? Spending time with Him, praying in other tongues, spending time with Him, worshiping Him, spending time talking to Him, spending time with God, meditating in His Word, maybe doing a little fasting, hallelujah, or a lot of fasting. Continue to pursue Him. That's what I mean by that. But here's Mark 11, 23 says this. Well, first in 22, he says, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, as one, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what saith. Amen. If we say it, hallelujah. But be thou removed, we say it. Be removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what? That those things which he saith shall come to pass. He's going to have whatsoever he says. Can you believe that your words have power? God, Jesus said they do. So we can believe that God's word has power. That what Jesus said it is. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So whatever we say, we can have. Whatever we pray, we can have too. He says here, saying or praying. Now, in this context, there's just one verse there in 25. He says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, that's forgiveness. Amen. If we have aught against people, or we have hard feelings towards someone, or someone has done us wrong, we should work toward that forgiveness. Why? Because it interferes with our relationship and our confidence with the Father. He said, if our heart doesn't have confidence, if our heart condemns us, we don't have confidence before God. It interferes with our confidence with Him and who He is. So when we believe His word, when we come into agreement and say what God says, we're going to have what we say. Amen. Our faith is going to be activated with our words. He says, you can have. Can you believe? We can believe that. Against hope, we believe what in hope and what God has said. And we keep our mouth saying what he says. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to have what we say. It doesn't say we get what God, we do get what God says because we're saying what he said. But we don't get it by being silent. We get it by using our voice and letting our words work with us. Just like God did. The Bible says, just like he did, he calls those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. So if we're sick in our body, we say, body, be healed. Body, listen to me. You might want to have a conversation with the flu next time. Flu, you listen to me. I don't accept you. Jesus bore my sicknesses, because faith is now. He bore my sicknesses, carried my pain. By his stripes, I am healed, and I refuse sickness. I refuse the right for sickness to stay in my body. Money, you listen to me. I'm talking to you, bank account. I know you say zero, but I'm talking to you. I say that I have abundance. I operate from surplus. I've got more than enough. You said, Father, you supply all my need. Therefore, I believe I receive. I remember we hadn't been married very long, my wife and I, and we needed $600 and some for a, I don't remember what the bill was for, but it was $600 and some. We needed that money. My wife says, well, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to believe God. And I went off to work. I don't know what else. What are you going to say? Oh, well, we're going to sit and worry and cry and I don't know. Yeah. No. Doesn't mean we don't work. It means we believe God. Well, that afternoon I came home from work and in my mailbox was $700 and some check from my student school loan that I didn't know had already been paid off. They said I paid them too much, but I thought I just reached the right amount. That's what my record showed. But they said our record showed, and I had to call them because I didn't want to take, how many know you don't want to take the money and have to pay it back, right? Amen. But it was a refund, just on time, just when I needed it, with a little extra to give into the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, give into the kingdom, why don't you just buy something you want? I could, but I'm going to follow what God wants. Amen. He wants us to be faithful. We should give at least a portion. Amen. Hallelujah. Had a little money left. I wanted to give into the kingdom. Hadn't had much to give at the time. It's a joy to give. It's an honor to give. But anyway, he provided right on time. God has ways to take care of us. Amen. He's going to take care of you. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So we don't have to beg God to give to us. He's already a giver. He said, if we ask of him, he'll give liberally wisdom, right? He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. God's a giver. He's not a withholder. How much more will I give good things to those that love me? I will withhold what no good thing, those that walk uprightly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. That, Father, when we hold fast and we believe against what we see, Father, with our natural mind, against our natural mind's conclusion, Lord, that we can agree with what you have said and we can bring to pass your truth and circumstances in our life can change, Father. We can speak the end result with your word. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you're the one that causes us to believe, to speak in line with what you have said. Lord, help us to keep our words working with what you have said. Help us keep our minds renewed to the truth of your word, the truths that you have given us, Lord, that will not draw back, but we will continue to stand, Father, and we will receive all that you have promised in Jesus' name for our own lives and Lord, ultimately for the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.